Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Here's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac, a stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Hell yeah! Mark Grody has got your Bears hit. One word as the Bears get ready to take on the Packers Saturday night. Woo! This is what you do this for. Groats, what's the good news on the injury report?
Well, yeah, guys. I mean, this was the last full practice of the week. Halas Hall will be closed to the media tomorrow. Hopefully, it will be closed to us on Sunday, because if they lose, that would be the locker cleanout day. I have no desire to be here. But yeah, Lawrence, we learned today that C.J. Gardner, this is not good news. We learned today that C.J. Gardner-Johnson will not play. That's obviously pretty big. Kyler Gordon remains questionable. He was out there practicing. I'll have a little bit more on Kyler Gordon at the end of this report. Roma Dunze, though, the really good news, was a full participant in practice. And Ozzie Trapillo back out there. He's been limited this week. Obviously did not play against Detroit, but he was down as a full participant. He is good to go and presumably be the Bears starting left tackle in this particular game. DJ Moore has not talked for a while to the media. When I say that, he was not in the locker room after the Detroit loss. At least I didn't see him in there, and I was in there for the majority of the time that we were allowed to be in there. But DJ Moore will always have a huge part in the legacy of this rivalry because of his 46-yard overtime catch the last time these two teams played on that Saturday night. And DJ is heading into a place that he has never been. Here is the always interesting and entertaining DJ Moore.
DJ is a veteran. What do you tell the younger guys about handling a week like this?
Yeah, this is my first time in this thing too, so I'm just going with the flow, working hard. Everything is, you could tell everything has been amped up. Even our practice has been. So, I mean, it's a lot of bugs, but like butterflies going around. But, you know, it's football at the end of the day. So, we got to go out there and execute.
You really seem to take pleasure in beating the Packers. It just seems to resonate from you. Can you talk a little about that? Why it means so much to you?
Why? Because they always chirping. It's always like some talking going on somewhere, somehow, during the game, before the game, always. And, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, the rivalry, it speaks for itself. But the players that's on both sides of on both teams right now, I think, are pretty amped about this third matchup and just getting out there. Make it loud as possible.
Do you ever talk to the younger players about settling down in some of these big moments, these big games?
No,
emotionally.
No, because you can't. Why would you tell? You want to tell a lion not to go feast? Like, what? Like, you can't tell them that they can't go do something. So you just let them play free and just play fast at the end of the day.
Man, it's nice. It's cool to hear from him, Gross. That's good stuff. I love him saying, yeah, I don't know what this is like.
He doesn't. Like, that's part of the...
This is his first winning team since high school.
That's part of the issue with the Bears as a collective is that they got a lot of guys that have played a ton of football, but not a lot of guys who've played a ton of playoff football. They got some winners, TJ Edwards, Joe Tooney. They've got some guys who've won, but... When you start looking at the roster overall, not a lot of playoff games played.
And then Lawrence, and man, on the other side, like Green Bay has a ton of it, a ton of playoff experience. It's huge, like a massive win 2 years ago when they were also a 7 seed and they demolished the Dallas Cowboys. This is Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love. This is a quarterback and coach who have experience in the playoffs, experience winning in the playoffs, and there's a ton of players on their roster that have that experience in the playoffs too. So that's really, I mean, it's a huge factor. Look, DJ Moore is a veteran. We know he's no wide-eyed rookie. He doesn't suffer fools. I think that DJ Moore, maybe the most professional guy in that locker room in terms of the way he goes about his business. And there's a lot of guys who would probably be at the top in terms of all of that. But it is there is the, you know what, guys, we talk so much about the known and where I love the known, which I don't get, but I do understand the unknown. And there's a lot of unknown in this game because I don't know, Matt, I don't know how DJ Moore will be in the postseason. I don't know how Ben Johnson will be as a head coach.
Known.
And I don't know how Caleb Williams will be as a quarterback.
No one knows about the unknown. You're living in the unknown.
Nothing.
You're living in the unknown, and it's not comfortable. Yes. It is uncomfortable to be in the unknown. I was fired up when we got the injury report news in transition. I remain fired up because it feels nice that you've got just about everybody you want. I wish you had C.J. Gardner-Johnson, but you don't have him. Okay, but you do have Kyler. That's fascinating, and we'll see how much he's able to play. You do have Nick McCloud, and you do have Tyreek Stevenson. That is not an injury factor, but I love that you talked to him. We've been wondering about it all week, and Dennis Allen's answers didn't really give you everything maybe you wanted, even the ones that he got. So what'd you get out of Tyreek today?
Yeah, he didn't play at all against Detroit. So what's going on, Tyreek Stevenson?
A specific answer, As they said, they feel like, you know, Shawnee and Jalen are the best options, you know. Best thing I could do is come here, be healthy, and, you know, just be ready for any opportunity I get.
Elson, this is a new week, so where are you at this week with your thought process?
Really don't know. Same thing. Been rotating in practice. Hopefully, you know, it turns over to the game. But just showing up here. You know, doing the best I can. You know, whenever I get an opportunity, you know, just take advantage of it.
As a competitor, how do you take it? How do you deal with it? How do you focus that energy?
Just focus on just being the best teammate and making sure that when eyes is on me, you know, I'm being the best teammate that I can, and you know, that's my main focus, just being a great teammate, and you know, whenever my number's called, just make sure that I go out there and do my business.
Because it did seem odd that you didn't play at all in that game, at least from our perspective. Have they told you anything differently for this game? Like, have they told you, hey, be ready to be involved?
I was told that last week, and, you know, I didn't get in. So, no, just rolling with the punches at this point.
But do you say anything to them? Do you ask more questions? Like, why, you know, the whole part of that?
No, because at the end of the day, they believe that the guys on the field that's going to help us win. And, you know, I'm on the same boat. You know, at the end of the day, I want to win. And, you know, if I'm out there, I'm going to help us win. If the guys out there, they're going to help us win. So, at the end of the day, I'm going to be a great teammate and just wait on any opportunity that I get.
Man, that hit me kind of hard. It's a big moment in this kid's life where, like, you can make money for the next deal or not. Hello? Everybody okay? Okay. All right.
Sorry, yeah, I'm out here in the atrium. There's some things going on on the floor below me. Don't let that distract you, Matt.
Thank you, Mark. I'll just play right through it. I'll try to stay level and stay focused. Focus on the fundamentals. But like, it's a big moment for him, and he's not playing, and he's got to like see like all sorts of stuff, big picture. If he zooms out and he's trying to stay zoomed in, and I thought he represented very well right there. And then you got that added tidbit there that he was told to be ready last week and didn't get used. Mm-hmm. I keep thinking about what Matt Bowen said, Lawrence, that these coaches should be aggressive and make changes if they need to on Saturday night.
Grody, you're around that guy and have been, you know, since he got here. And clearly after what happened in the Washington game and his rebounding of that, it's clear to me that he is, and I say this with love, sensitive. Like, he's a sensitive guy, and I think that's good that he's a sensitive guy. Do you feel like he's still connected with this thing, or do you feel like he's been disconnected from it?
Great question. I think part of what I liked about our conversation with Tyreek today is that, like, relative to when he first walked in this building, and I don't want to make this like he's been this like super immature guy. The maturity is like up, you know, like to hear that response. And he's been humbled too. You know, everything that went on with the famous game against Washington last year, some struggling moments this year. We know we went through a real hot streak this year as well. But I think that all of it, and, you know, having had a child as well, like all of that has added to this concoction of Tyreek Stevenson starting to run out of contract as well. That adds up too. But Lawrence and Matt, what I would say about Tyreek Stevenson is that if you couldn't find a place for Tyreek Stevenson in that game against Detroit, where they were just able to do anything they wanted to do in the middle of the field and other parts of the field, yep, if you're not going to give Tyreek Stevenson a chance in that scenario, then why would you give him a chance in this game? I mean, that to me, that's baffling. So there is still the possibility there is something that we don't know that has gone on with Tyreek Stevenson. I'm not saying that there has been or even trying to stir anything up. Mm-hmm. It just, the whole thing, I just don't feel like, while they've answered the questions, the coaching staff and Tyreek Stevenson, I still don't know that we have a really good answer on this, because why wouldn't you try him in that game? It's kind of crazy to think that they didn't.
I will be straight up pissed off if he doesn't play at all on Saturday night. I will be, because he can cover and he has an edge, man. When he's out there, he's got a physical edge. And without CJ, you could use any other little bit of physical edge you can have.
I agree. But to go back to our conversation that we were having about TJ Edwards, we know that peeking inside is also a Tyreek Stevenson issue. Mm. That he sometimes has bad leverage, that he sometimes will fall for the banana in the tailpipe
and get burned
by it. But he does have something that you lack right now. And that's man coverage skills.
I think now that Kyler's here, maybe it Kyler helps. Can do it. But, you know, I think he's a better man cover guy than Wright or Jalen at this point.
This point with Jalen and Jalen's health.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
If Jalen's healthy, he's one of the best cover guys in the league.
Whew. Right. And you just, like, that's just another unpredictable part of this game. Like, will Jalen Johnson take a step up? I mean, it's probably unrealistic to think that something's going to click and all of a sudden Jalen Johnson's going to be like he has been in all his other years.
I didn't know that Nashawn Wright's nickname was Shawnee. I kind of like that. That's good. So what's up with him?
Yeah, so we kind of started a little conversation with Nashawn Wright about the fact that, hey, man, defense has been struggling. What do you take away from that game, especially? Well, I guess if I'm going to go especially, I'd probably say the San Francisco game. But the Detroit game is the one that is closest to us, so we picked it up right there in the conversation with Shawnee Wright.
For me, I think it's just putting on the back burner. Week 18 was week 18. Not thinking about it. We got an opponent ahead of us who's a great offense. They convert on third down, so locking in on that and that game plan and going out there and trying to execute.
Have you heard any of the chatter coming out of Green Bay?
Yeah, I've seen a few of the little interviews, but it is what it is.
Okay. You mentioned third downs. They, in general, I think they're second in the league on third down. You guys did struggle against them on third downs. How do you tighten that up? What's the message?
You said it. Tighten it up. Tighten up the coverage. Give them different looks. And pressure him, move him off his spot, and just make him make the throws that we want and capitalize on the ball when it's in the air.
Man, I'm hoping for a big old wind, lots of wind, and that lofty ball that Jordan Love likes to throw can float around in the breeze out there on Saturday night.
He had that touchdown throw that just... when he threw it, we were all like, wait, who is he throwing to? And then you look at the replay and you go, oh my God, the wind just took that touchdown away from the Packers.
Yeah, and he can do that where he can throw that ball up in the air and it goes right into Nashawn Wright's waiting hands. Can you work on that for us, Groats?
Yeah, I can. I think the third down thing is also just such a big deal. I'm just looking back because Ben Johnson was talking about that too, more with the offense. But Green Bay on third down against the Bears defense, and the Bears win over Green Bay. The Packers were 6 for 12 on third down in the first game, which of course the Packers won. They were 8 of 12 on third down. And while I'm at it, in the game that the Bears won on December 20th, the Bears offense was 2 for 11 on third down. So third down is an area that you must circle. It must get better for the Bears on defense. It must get better for the Bears on offense.
It's a massive focus. The situational stuff, red zone and third down are massive, massive focuses. And the last 3 weeks, among all teams in the NFL, the Bears 31st in third down defense, Mark, to your point. So
yeah, I mean, it's really frustrating. I mean, I asked Ben Johnson an open-ended question about what he wants to get better. I played it on Raheemy Harrison Grody earlier, and he it was a very, very long, thorough answer in which he played the hits, including we must get off to a faster start. But he was really big on the third down stuff and the time of possession stuff. I didn't even mention that. But in the Bears' win, the Packers had the ball 38 minutes and 57 seconds to the Bears' 26 minutes and 13 seconds. In the first game that the Bears lost, it was 33-29 to 26-31. So it'd be really nice to see the Bears put together one of those, what maybe will become vintage style, long play drives that Ben Johnson's had 3 or 4 of those this year, where he exhausts the opposing team's defense and kind of exhausts his own team to some degree.
It's really nice that we now have one of those coaches in the league that you want to hear talk about the opponent, because the way that they dissect the game and figure out who's yes. good and who matters can be really, really good. And you can learn a lot from it, Mark.
I love how you intro'd that, because I know I think it was the first game that they played. We talked a lot about the Green Bay Packers safety, and I know Ben had an answer about that. But boy, when he was asked about Evan Williams, the fine safety for the Green Bay Packers, he took it and ran with it and expanded it to that entire position. Here's Ben Johnson on that.
Both him and McKinney are really good. I don't know if there's a better safety tandem right now this year. I know the team we faced last week had a couple guys that are hurt. Those are two really good players as well. But these two guys, you just got to account for them. It's I think the safety position in general is one that it's rare that you go into a game feeling like there's an impact player, and yet this particular week, like these two guys they're all over the field. I think they're highly instinctive. They do a great job when the ball's in the air, making plays. You know, I know McKinney had all those interceptions last year. He did a great job with that. And then I think it's been pretty cool to see Evan Williams just kind of grow over the course of his career to where he's an impact player for him now. We gotta do our best to take them out of the running game, because they're very active. They do a great job tackling, and then when our backs get them one-on-one, you know, they have done a good job all year getting these backs down. And so we got a big challenge in front of us there, and Halfley's done a nice job putting them in good spots.
Boy, that's a lot of respect for those two guys. I always think of this one play that Olin had shared a few weeks back of Evan Williams just attacking the lead blocker on a run play. Like, sometimes if you're crashing down as a safety, you don't get all the way to the running back. If you destroy the lead blocker, then whoever the next guy is or whoever your teammate is can go in there and take care of business. They're both awfully good.
Hey, Gross, can I ask you a question about something that we were talking about earlier?
Yeah, please.
The Packers are out here talking a little bit, and I think that it's gamesmanship, but I also think it could very easily backfire. Considering the way the Bears played, and they kind of sleptwalked through a big portion of that game against Detroit, and Ben was about as mad as we've seen him in a long time this season because of it. I know that it's the playoff game and you should be ready no matter what, but it just felt like, are you sure? It seems like they think that they might be able to get the Bears overhyped, and I keep looking at it as it might have refocused the Bears in a time when they needed it.
Yeah, I hope the Bears learned from that game on Saturday night, and to a certain degree, I was actually okay with it because it was like this was an experience that a lot of these Bears players had not had. It was bright lights, big city. The hype was crazy. So to some degree, I'd excuse the early silliness with the penalties that the Bears had in that game. But obviously, they're going to need to come down. And yeah, maybe the Green Bay Packers get burned by the same thing. I mean, I think they probably look at it like the Bears got lucky that they played, maybe outplayed the Bears for a chunk of that game, the December 20th game. So they want a little piece of it. I know, too, that, look, the vibe out here is, or has been, and from things that I've been hearing, is that after that Detroit game, my guess is it got probably pretty loud in that locker room, that it was about as loud as maybe it had been in terms of the coach. I'm not talking about players yelling necessarily or some sort of like crazy chaotic scene, but just from everything that I've been put together and listening to everything, I think Ben aired them out pretty good in that Detroit game. So, and I think that the discipline part of this too, that's been talked to about the Bears in terms of just taking a deep breath before the game. You heard DJ Moore saying, look, you don't want to completely take that out of the young guys, but it's a huge factor in all of this. And you have two teams that want a piece of each other right now, which is beautiful.
I like that. I like that. Nuggets and tidbits.
Yeah, I got a few good things for you guys. I do not know if Kyler Gordon will play in this game, but one player said it will be good to have him back out there. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean, and that's why I'm not putting a name with it, but that is speaking about him in the present tense. I mean, Kyler does not obligated to speak to the media because he hasn't been activated. So there's nothing on the record with him, and I couldn't squeeze anything out of him. But it'll be interesting and to monitor him, too. You know, I was talking to Weedsy about this. If he does play, like, is he going to be able to play the whole game? It's a very interesting scenario. And with CJ, GJ out, it is so important that he at least gives it a go. Several players noted that the intensity of the practices this week have gone up. That sounds like a logical thing. I think it's also notable, though, because they try to put on this, we're just do the same things that we always do. No, it's got to be the intensity needs to go up. And that's what has happened here. A couple other things here. In this exact scenario, this scenario where the 7 seed plays the 2 seed, the 7 seed is 1-9. Looks pretty good chances for the Bears. That one game, though, was Green Bay, and yep. I kind of gave it away at the beginning of the hit, was 2 years ago against Dallas when the 7 seed Green Bay Packers went into the 2 seed Dallas Cowboys and just blew them up and put the league on warning that day. I really thought that they were going to sustain success from that, the Packers. That scared the hell out of me. And then the one last thing, too, in the name of the Bears getting off to a fast start, because that's what we all want, the Packers have allowed just 2 first quarter touchdowns all season long.
Oh, man.
Other than that, Bears.
And for a Bears team that has been struggling in the first quarter and the first half for quite a while.
Exactly.
That's rough.
It's huge. Not that you can't overcome all of this stuff and things can be different for the Bears, but there are some areas to be concerned with for sure.
Mark, one last thing. When I was at Mariano's today, I saw a cookie cake, a giant cookie cake.
I like that.
With a large yellow wedge of cheese painted on with frosting right there in the middle of said cookie cake.
That's a problem.
I thought that was a problem as well. I was disgusted. What would you suggest I do to said cookie cake at the Mariano's?
First of all, number one, and I love Mariano's, and they can earn their Bears back, but they just lost 2 Bears. They just did. I mean, I understand. I haven't heard their side of it. You know, maybe this is something that maybe somebody that works there is a Green Bay fan, and they're just having a little bit of fun, but you just lost 2 Bears right there. And Matt,
I think you know exactly what to do to that cake, okay?
Yeah, I do. Wow. I'm not going to do it in public,
two
though.
Two bears. Firm.
That's
but fair.
Yeah, hey. you lost two bears. I mean, that is...
It's not, playoffs,
this is not
man.
The time.
It's a playoff
This is
week.
Not the time to be messing around with yellow cakes, Mariano. I love you.
It was a chocolate chip cake, but it was a yellow frosting.
May I offer just a theory and a defense of Mariano's?
Okay.
Is it possible that the whole concept is... Here's your Packers cookie cake. Eat it up.
Oh, eat it up.
Ooh. Eat it up.
Devour that ish. Yeah,
eat
maybe.
Eat it up.
I thought it more like, you know, Packer fans buy sneakers too.
Oh, no. Or,
excuse me. Packer fans buy cookie cakes too.
Oh, no. Groats, as always, you're the best, sir.
Thank you, guys. Yep. I will talk to you soon. Bears.
It's Mark Grody.
I walked right over to that cake and vomited directly on it. There in the middle of the Mariano's. Is that too much?
That's probably a little much.
Yeah, it was.
Someone has to clean that up, Speed.
Yeah, that's, sorry about that.
Yeah.
It's probably Mariano himself. I don't want to make him do that. I'll go back. I'll clean it up myself.
It's me, Mariano.
Hey! Oh!
There are a lot of national people who like the Bears. There's one national pundit that really likes the Bears. So we're going to share some of the thoughts on that next here on The Score.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
How do you handle your Saturday morning, your early afternoon, when you've got so much lead up until kickoff? How do you pace yourself? How do you release your energy?
Personally,
yeah,
get a good workout in, and you try to get a little sleep, a little rest. Like I said, a workout for the coaching staff normally is a good thing to just to get the blood flowing a little bit, and maybe watch a movie or something like that.
I feel like he hasn't slept in days.
He was asked also today about his family. How's your family enjoying this? Well, I really haven't seen them this week.
Correct. That's usually how that works.
Yeah. Maybe I'll see them this afternoon. Not too sure. I have no idea what their schedules are.
This isn't Ben going to a Cubs game, Ben, right now.
No.
That's not what this is.
No.
Because we saw Ben go to the Cubs game. We were 10 feet away from him going to the Cubs game. He was all smiles and happy.
Had his shirt on and everything.
Yep. He was with his kids, right?
Yeah.
He said, I haven't seen them in a while.
Yeah, that's not what this is.
He was with somebody's kids, Alex. I don't know.
This is him pacing. This is him maybe probably on a treadmill. This is him going over everything, making sure that everyone is in the right place.
Alex, do you scout his kids? That's just weird, man. How do you know those were his kids? That's odd.
Weren't they at the introductory press conference?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. All right, good. Glad we covered
that. I want our coach to sleep before the biggest game of our lives. Tell Declan Doyle to not sleep.
Tell Declan Doyle to go take care of those kids. Does he have any of his own?
Well, maybe Ben on Friday. Like, once he kind of knows, is Kyler actually in? Is he really in?
Yeah.
It's always a surprise with those guys. It could be day of.
Right? Maybe Friday night he gets some sleep. And let's hope that Ben Johnson sleeps really well Saturday night.
There were some really good thoughts within the national voice, Chris Sims' hit with Rahimi and Harris and Grody, right? Like,
and he's been talking about this too on Pro Football Talk Live as well. Like, he digs what he's seeing around here.
Yeah, he likes Ben Johnson, and he thinks that Ben maybe has some stuff that is gonna be involved here. We'll get to some of that. But this is Chris Sims from earlier today previewing the big game.
There's no doubt in the first two matchups, the Packers played better football than the Bears, right? The Bears miraculously pulled that week Week 16 matchup out with, you know, two late fourth quarter drives. And, of course, the overtime drive was really the full extent of their offensive performance that day. Everything else was a struggle, right? Jeff Hafley has had his way a little bit with Ben Johnson, which is very rare, right? And I know it's you guys are looking for your first playoff win, and they're coming, because I don't think the Bears are going anywhere for a long, long time with this guy at head coach and this guy at quarterback. I'll say that. But at the same time, I think the biggest thing I look at here, and I think in the second matchup, I do think that Malik Willis being thrown into the fold really made things hard on Chicago, because he brings a different element that I'm sure they weren't really prepared for in that game. Malik Willis has a chance to be a superstar, and his ability to run and scramble in that second game, I think, caught the Bears off guard. Now it's going to be more the traditional drop back pass, Jordan Love in the pocket. The one thing I'll say about Jordan Love where I think he can get better in his game is he's not the most surgical intermediate passer in all of football. Those plays between 5 and 10 yards, those type of throws, they're not usually real consistent in that department and dicing up defenses that way. So that's where I go, the Bears have to have a blend there. But the Packers are 0 for their last 4. The Packers have not been the same since Micah Parsons got injured. I mean, Micah Parsons is a big deal. He's so big that when he got hurt, we all went, oh, I don't know if the Packers can go to the Super Bowl anymore. That's how awesome he is. And then you couple that with Jordan Love not having played in 3 weeks and really only practicing limited times. Yeah, it's hard for me to get behind that and go, wait, the team that's 0-4 and a quarterback that hasn't played, he's just going to hit the ground running on Saturday night and throw for 300 yards and beat the Bears. So that's why I go with the Bears. But the Bears, there's no doubt, one thing in particular shows to me that has to be better if they want to win this game is the drop back pass game. That's it. Plain and simple, right? The first game, they ran the ball. They ran bootlegs. They did a little of that. They left yards and plays there to be had in the drop back pass game. The second time around, the drop back pass game didn't deliver until late in the game, and the Packers got a little conservative trying to protect their lead. This is a game where, yes, I do believe Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams are going to have to win through the pass game. You're not going to be able to just run the ball at will on Green Bay, and that's kind of how I look at it. I picked them to win 23-20, but like I said, I think it's going to be a nail biter.
I disagree with him about the run game thing. I do think the Bears, in whatever personnel package they want to run out there, can run the ball against Green Bay.
Yeah, I think so too. I think they can too. But I think he's right that the drop back pass stuff, that Caleb's got to be on time and accurate. If I hadn't seen the undeniable progress that we have seen from Caleb in such circumstances, highlighted by the Sunday night game against San Fran, I wouldn't feel as optimistic as I feel. I think he's ready for it. I think he's ready to make some completions in simple drop back passes and stay in. He's more willing to stay in. He's been a bit more accurate overall, and the understanding has clearly risen as well.
I hope so. I mean, because I think that Caleb is someone that is shown that he is built for these moments at the ends of games. Man, I'd love for it to happen early. Yeah. I'd love for him, because think about how fun it could be if he's locked in early and making plays.
Yeah, it'll be
the stress that could put on Green Bay.
Oh my God! If they really got to respect the timing of the real deal drop back passes. What I don't want to see is what we saw from him early and what we've seen a lot. We saw a lot last year where he leaves the pocket maybe before he needs to. That's what I don't want to see.
One more thing from Chris Sims, who was on with the midday show. This was him talking about a wrinkle that he expects from Saturday.
I think we're going to see a different drop back pass game. I think this is a game finally where Ben Johnson's like, listen, you know, hey, we've had 18 weeks here. It's Green Bay. They got some talent on their football team. I'm going to open the vault a little bit in the drop back passing game. Caleb, we're going to run a few plays that maybe I haven't asked you to run this year. We might have a few checks at the line of scrimmage where I go, I haven't asked you to do all this mental gymnastics at the line of scrimmage, but this week it's win or go home. So we got to do it, or we're going and planning a vacation next week. And that's where I kind of look at it being different. And then the other things that I talk about with Green Bay, it's just, where's their mental state as a football team right now? I mean, not many teams have had real successful playoff runs going, we lost 4 in a row and our quarterback hasn't played in 3 weeks.
Man, the first part of that, a wrinkle in the drop back, like asking Caleb to do more mental stuff, I don't know if I love that, but asking him to run a couple plays that'll be a surprise, that sounds a lot like Ben Johnson.
Take your shot. I feel like if we were to distill Chris's message down, it's take your shot.
Like, hey, there's one-on-one. Go route. Luther.
Rome.
Run.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
like,
man.
Like, let's just mess with them. Hey, Rome, nine. Like, let's show them that you're healthy. Let's show them how healthy you are.
Dude.
And then it's like, Jeff Half is like, oh, bleep. What's happening now? Now I got to worry about that guy, too? I wasn't sure that he was even playing.
I just envisioned a first quarter long touchdown bomb. I got excited about it.
As you should. I think that's what Chris is talking about
there. You guys feel that?
Or maybe, you know, you halfway through the first quarter, Rome kind of is going 75% speed on those routes. You're like, oh, Rome doesn't look like he's looks a little rusty. And then, boom, turn on the Jets on a third down.
The old rope-a-dope. Go ahead, Rome. Yeah.
Especially on the guy.
Why did you sound like Carlos Boozer there?
That one. Give me that, Joe. Because everybody should sound like Carlos Boozer sometimes in their life.
You see what his kid's doing?
Oh, his kid's really good.
That kid's a ball player.
Lawrence, it's not time to focus on college basketball yet. It's calendar. It doesn't. Other than the occasional Spiro Dinas, DePaul, and Georgetown
game. I mean, it is the holiday season.
It's the holiday season. Yesterday in this particular spot, that's where we got into a salty Kraken. And I've been thinking about John Forslund all day long.
Spiro Dinas saying goodnight from Chicago.
He'll be back.
Yeah, he will. We heard from Spiro and a salty Kraken yesterday. And you got another salty play-by-play guy coming at us.
Yeah, someone's about to take a shot at one of your favorite coaches, and it was a stray, man. Absolutely. We'll share that with you next here on The Score.
Now I'm done with War and Peace.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Blitz coming. It's picked up. Williams has a man wide open. He's got it. Touchdown, Adunze.
Trayvon Diggs one-on-one with Rome Adunze, and he just slips. Gets imbalanced, and Trayvon Diggs coming off a tough knee injury. Popped up on the injury report late yesterday. They were a little bit unsure whether he'd play, and not quite as comfortable as we've seen him in the past either.
Trayvon Diggs is a Packer now.
And he's playing already.
He's a Packer.
He is. He's a former Bear. He's a former Bill. Did the Packers block the Bears from maybe picking him up in the NFL's waiver process?
We'll never know. I don't think so. But, you know, they had a need. Like, they lost cornerbacks, so they had to do something. And, of course, because of his time in Dallas, his guy, Micah, vouched for him.
They're very close.
So they go back a long ways, and now they were like reunited tweets and all that stuff. His end in Dallas was murky.
A lot of Dallas times end murky with Jerry.
Yeah, but it wasn't just with Jerry. Brad Sham, the longtime Cowboys play-by-play guy.
There's a legendary salty play-by-play guy. Brad Sham, a guest on this station in the 90s.
He had some things to say about why this went south, and someone you know and love from the Bears is mentioned.
This is the truth, and a lot of his sycophants don't want to say it. Diggs began to orchestrate, not intentionally, But Diggs began to orchestrate his departure from the team 2 years ago when he had the first big knee injury, and he did not rehab here with the team staff, and they didn't like what he did in terms of his rehab. They didn't think he worked hard enough. They didn't do the things he... Now, were they right or wrong? I don't know, but they're the boss. Yeah. They're the ones writing the checks. And frankly, I think that they think that Al Harris babied him a little bit and did the same thing with Kalen Carson last year. And that's one of the reasons that, they let Al Harris leave, not the only reason, or that maybe Al wanted to leave.
Wait, I told you needed to hear that.
Hold on a second. There's like three different shots at Al Harris within the last 10 seconds of that.
Uh-huh.
It's not the only reason. Maybe Al wanted to leave, but Al Harris babied Trevon Diggs and let him come back slow. Interesting. Well, a lot of times the position coach, as you know, Lawrence, you know, can be the soft landing.
It kind of all depends. Like, what's your coordinator like? What's your head coach like?
I know for
a
fact.
A lot of times the position coach can go opposite.
I know for a fact that there were times in Philly when Shane Steichen would be the a-hole offensive coordinator and the quarterback coach would hold Jalen Hurts' hand after being yelled at.
Right. But like, if you look at another position group on the Bears, Eric Bieniemy's always the bad guy.
Yeah, there's
right?
No.
Like he's
good point.
He is never going to be good cop. Black cop, yes. Good cop, no.
Well, first of all, would you allow another man to be black cop? Would you? Are you
Eric
okay?
Bieniemy? Yeah, he can be black cop.
All right. Well, but like the Bears one is all screwed up because Ben Johnson is the bad cop. Your head coach is kind of the bad cop.
Right. So
Declan Doyle is sort of a good cop, which is a rarity. So yeah, so then Bieniemy's back doing his thing.
Yeah, and I figure
it's good job.
I figure Antoine Randall might be bad cop too. He's definitely black cop. But he might also be bad cop, and I mean that in the best possible way.
There's a lot of black cops.
That's why they're 11-6. So I think that when it comes to Al Harris, there has been and maybe he does take care of his guys in his position group, but it seems to me that the version of Al Harris that the Bears have gotten has done so well that people are talking about Al Harris being somebody's defensive coordinator.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And maybe the Packers' defensive coordinator.
If Jeff Hafley gets a head coaching job.
Yep.
Hafley, a former head coach at BC.
Yeah.
And a guy who left being a college head coach to be an NFL coordinator might be up for some of these
and
jobs.
Some
like, what a blessing to be here for me and my family. So I appreciate that. And we are not going to be done. So I will see you guys next week.
Yeah, you know, that's Jeff Hafley smacking the podium with two hands. You can see them next week when you're cleaning out your damn office at the end of your season.
Oh, now you don't start, Speaks. Don't start.
He's trying to rile me up, but it's working.
It's going to be awesome when either you're hosting in Milwaukee or John Kuhn is hosting here.
That's Lawrence's bet. That's so good. We got to ask John Kuhn. I don't have John Kuhn's number, though. Alex, do you have his number?
Yes, I do.
Oh, that's very good. Yeah, Rami wouldn't give it to me one time. I asked Rami.
Ooh, smart decision.
Wow. Well, I wonder why he wouldn't do that. That's interesting that he wouldn't give you the number.
It's double agent stuff?
That seems like the type of activity that a triple agent would do.
Oh, poor Rami. Rami doesn't know whether he's coming or going.
Rami Makhlouf, triple agent?
I mean, if there's a worse human being on earth, I don't know who it is.
That was from his guy, Thunder.
Thunder, bringing the Thunder.
Going on with Thunder tomorrow. I'll bring that back up.
But final segment before these airwaves are taken over by Molly, Olin Krutz, and Patrick Manley with our pregame show to get you ready for Bears and Lions today. I was just looking at the playoff picture during the break and trying to see all the different possibilities.
Yeah, right,
and
sure
had
sure
Packers on the screen in front of me and just read it because I am Ron Burgundy.
He'll never beat those allegations.
That was a lot of words to try and get away from what he knew was coming.
And again, for the record, Rami is a delightful human
being,
and we like him quite a bit.
Wonderful man. Brad Sham has been with the Cowboys since 1976. He has been the lead He's been the lead play-by-play voice since 1984. You know who his partner was for the first 8 years? He was the color analyst while Vern Lundquist was the play-by-play guy. That's amazing. So, yeah, Brad Sham, he fears no one.
Nor should he.
Nor should he. So when he tells you stuff, he believes it, folks. So he believes
that
Al Harris
may have been told it.
Well, at least we don't have to worry about the Cowboys poaching Al Harris. They also need a defensive coordinator.
Doesn't seem like that's something that's going to happen. Not if Brad Sham has anything to say about it.
He might not, though.
It's true.
We don't know.
Yeah, but where is he getting that information from?
We don't know what Al's relationship is like with Jerry.
Yeah, that's the only relationship.
That type of thing matters.
That's the only relationship that matters.
Hopefully, Bears fans won't have to worry about that for a long time. Like a whole month. That would be great.
Yeah.
You know what else is great? Dave Wannstedt. It's 5:00 somewhere. Damn it, that somewhere is here. Wanny joins us next on The Score.